Alrighty. Thank you, folks. So my name is Matthew Anian. I'm a program manager in Visual Studio. And today's topic is agile testing across browsers and across devices. Right. So they have put the wrong slides for me. Let me switch to my desktop. So in preparation for the talk, I went and talked to my team about what are the differences that they actually see between testing prior to moving, being agile, and what they are doing right now. And we have been shipping for the last 3 years in sort of the agile development model. We ship every 3 weeks into the Team Foundation service. And now I guess every two sprints are going out as, update CTPs also. So we've been able to ship at a continuous cycle now. And I went and talked to some of the people who are responsible for testing in my team and wanted to understand from them what was exactly different in their current practices, right? So the first thing that they highlighted was this focus on customer value. By the way, let me just say, feel free to interrupt me whenever you have a question or do not agree with what I am saying here and want to have a different opinion. If you can, please do use those mics which are kept on the aisles. So coming back here, agile testing, mainly it is about the focus on customer value. Previously, they were trying to look at the specifications and then how the product that is coming out meets those specifications. But now it is not really about the specification. It is about what the customer really wants. Are we delivering that in that feature or in the app that we are building, right? And the agile tester, when we look at him, we are looking at two main qualities. First one is this empathy with the customer. Right? He needs to be able to sit in the place of the customer and be able to deliver and be able to check if the feature or the app is actually delivering some value to the customer. And we basically treat the app or the feature as successful only if the customer is getting that value, right? And the second aspect of the agile tester is ability to do critical thinking, right? It is not about those specifications anymore. It is about, hey, are we delivering quality? The next big thing that has changed is this responsibility of the team to deliver that app. Previously, there would be a tester or a testing team who is mainly charged with ensuring the quality. And now that is no longer true. It is the responsibility of the team to ensure that. So when the developer is building an app, he's actually ensuring that it is testable, right? And most developers are moving to a TDD kind of model where they actually first write the test and then build the app, which basically leads to a 100% coverage of your tests also. And another perspective on this is that the team is actually listening to the customer too. Previously, there used to be like product managers and customer support representatives who would actually go and listen to what the customer is saying. Now, the whole team is engaging with the customer. It could be on one-on-one conversations about specific issues or feature requests that they are pulling in. Or we in Visual Studio, we have this mechanism whereby you can put in your feature requests on uservoice.com. Right? And everybody in the team actually looks at it and listens to that and includes that in the conversations in the product itself. And the third thing that I want to talk about, and this is one of our learnings, is that as we start releasing in this faster cadence, right, it becomes very much important to focus a lot on automated testing. We really don't want to carry any technical debt as part of the cycle. When one sprint ends, we want to ensure that whatever testing is required is complete, and not just that, whatever is automatable is actually automated too. And that is one of the most important things, especially when you are building web apps. And one of the main sections in my talk today is cross-browser testing. So before I jump in there, let me ask a question. Just raise your hands if you have used coded UI tests in Visual Studio. All right, that's a small set of people only. So that is our solution for functional testing within Visual Studio. And we have a very good, very strong solution in Internet Explorer for testing on Internet Explorer. And what we have done now is extended that capability to work with the other browsers also. So currently we support IE, Firefox, and Chrome. So what do we actually do? We enable you to create that test very fast by using recording if you want, using in IE. So you can actually do those actions which constitute your test in IE, and we will record the actions and generate code which will be made available in Visual Studio. And that code uses a standard API, and that API itself is very powerful. So if you didn't want to go into a record mode, you could actually write the code directly using the API. And I will do a quick demo of all of these features. And once you have recorded, by adding just one line of code, you can now playback this on any of the other browsers. So by default, it will playback on IE. And if you want to switch it to Chrome or Firefox, you can do that with just one additional line of code. So how do we do this? We use two components. The first one is obviously Visual Studio. We released this feature in Visual Studio 2012 Update 1. And we also have this additional component called Selenium Components for CodeDUI cross-browser testing. And this is available in VS Gallery, right? So if you want to, you can go into Tools Extensions and search for it, and you will get this. And if not, if you're actually saying that this CodeDUI test has to run on Chrome or Firefox, as soon as the test is run, there will be an error message and a dialog pop-up which will actually direct you to this website where you can download the latest, right? And this sort of gives us the flexibility to handle the release cadence also. Right? As you know, Chrome sort of updates, I think, every 2 hours or something. And Firefox also has now gone into a pretty fast release cadence, right? And what we have seen is that it doesn't really require change at that fast cadence, our testing tools. But we released in November, and we had to, over the past, 4-5 months, we have released about 3 times, right? So 3 times there have been breaking changes which required us to update these Selenium components. So how do we do this? So this is a high-level architecture diagram of CodeDUI test, mainly focusing on the playback capabilities. So notice that I haven't included recording because recording is only available on IE, and playback is available for both Chrome and Firefox. What we have done is we have added 2 components, one for called the Selenium Browser Service, which provides the capabilities to, you know, at a high level, look at the browser window, the back buttons, and all of those operations. And then we have the Selenium plugin, which actually is a wrapper around the web drivers for Chrome and Firefox. Right? And if you look at it, it sort of mirrors what is available in IE. There is a corresponding IE browser service and an IE plugin. And it uses a standard extensibility. So the extensibility, the CodeDUI test feature was shipped in 2010, and extensibility was built into it. We have implemented our own browser service, the IE browser service, using that extensible model. And now we have used the same model for Selenium also. And the Selenium acts as the driver for Chrome and Firefox. Okay, now let me switch over to my demos. Since most of the folks are new to CodeDUI test, I'll just give a quick, you know, introduction to CodeDUI test. Do let me know if the people at the back are not able to see the screens. You are able to see it clearly now, right? So CodeDUI test is a new project. It is available under the test node under C# and VB. So you can create CodeDUI test in C# and VB. Once you select CodeDUI test and hit OK, you get this dialog. So I've made the fonts big so that everybody can see it. It looks a little bit better in the smaller fonts. You have 2 options. First one is that you can actually record actions and generate code and build your CodeDUI test. The second option is for you to reuse the tests that have been done by a manual tester. So if you're familiar with Microsoft Test Manager, that is the tool that is used by manual testers. And when you are actually doing a manual test from Microsoft Test Manager, we actually capture an action recording. And that action recording can be converted by an automation tester into a CodeDUI test. So that is what the second option is. So I will go ahead and start and record some actions. right? Let me bring that guy up. So this is a Coded UI test builder tool. It gives you the ability to start recording. I will click that button. And then I'm going to launch the browser and navigate to the ticket site. And notice here that I'm able to see the actions that are being performed here. Right? So it basically says, go to web page using a new browser instance. I will go ahead and click on the agenda icon, agenda link. And you can see that also is there. In between, a mouse hover has been recorded. If I don't need an action, I can go ahead and delete that. So that's my recording for now. Let me generate code for that. I will say navigate to agenda and add and generate this. And basically what happens here is that the code has been generated for all these actions and inserted into Visual Studio. We will have momentarily have a look at that code. I can also, in addition to this, go and add assertions, right? And what you do is you have this crosshair tool. You can drag and drop it onto any control that you want. So any control which is recognized by Coded UI test, you're able to see its properties, right? So let me see if I can make this a bit bigger. So you can see here it has shown a list of properties. We have grouped them into search properties, control specific properties, and generic. Let me go in and add, let's say inner text, add an assertion. And what this does is it again adds the code for generating an assertion that the inner text is that particular string. I can go ahead and generate that assertion. So I've just now closed the Coded UI test builder, and I am now in my Coded UI test project. So you can see here we created two methods. They have both been invoked here. In addition, we have added the appropriate references that are required to run Coded UI test. And we have created what we call a UI test file, which is actually contains all the controls that you interacted with and all the actions that you performed. So this is an XML representation of your actions. You can, it actually generates code into a designer.cs file and a uimap.cs. So let me quickly open in the designer.cs file. You can see here there is a class called uimap and the two methods that we added, navigate to agenda and assert method one, right? And it is structured in such a way that you can easily customize it and drive it with other data points also. And the uimap.cs is a partial class again. If you want to add any custom code that you have written yourself, you can go in and add that to uimap.cs. So this sort of constitutes a very basic Coded UI test. We were able to get started and have it done in like a few minutes, right? And that's one of the key things that we want to do. We don't want to waste time in building these tests. And if you want to really customize it, you can go into the code, or you can use this graphical editor where you can actually right-click on any one of those controls or actions and view their properties, right? So in this particular case, this is a Thursday, June 6 hyperlink, and it is identified by these search properties, right? So this was a quick intro to Coded UI test. What I will do is I have pre-created a Coded UI test to go through an end-to-end cycle for the TechEd website, right? And I will use that sort of as a theme throughout this presentation. And what that does is it actually navigates to each section that we see in the website and does some validations. In fact, when I timed myself, it took about a minute plus, so I've commented out some of those sections. We'll just, in the interest of time, just click on three of those hyperlinks and verify them. So if we go to the Test Explorer, you can see that all the tests are listed. By the way, we make the test run on a particular browser by just adding this one line of code. So here, I have recorded these actions in IE. Yes, go ahead. Good question. So at this point, we are not able to come up with a scenario where you can multiple versions can coexist, right? So in on a machine where it is running, it will use whichever is the version that is present on that machine. Right? You cannot specify that if it is 11, then fail. That you will have to write the code yourself. The tool by itself doesn't really care about versions. It only looks at a particular browser that you want to include and just runs it on whichever one is the one installed on that machine. Yes, so you will have to build up different machines on which you have different versions if you want to try it out on different versions of the test. So the same test will run, right? No change is required in your test code. The only thing that you need to change is ensure that the browser version that you want to test is included, is installed on that machine. So here I have the Firefox. So what I have done is I've recorded this test and then just refactored that out into a different method and created a few test methods, each one having a current browser line at the beginning. And all of them are listed here. So let me go ahead and run this on Chrome. So it actually starts up the Chrome driver from Selenium, and it is going to perform the series of actions that I showed, part of it that I showed earlier. It goes into the agenda link, performs some verification, switches to the content, and I've added a draw highlight just to show you that we are able to perform other actions also in addition to assert. So in this case, there was a highlight rectangle around that birds of a feather link, and you can see here that soon enough that it has passed. Right. Now, let's go ahead and make this test fail so that I can show you the troubleshooting experience, right? So let me bring up that UI test file that we saw earlier. And the first action that we do is navigate to agenda link, right? So when I click on this click agenda link, you will see on the other side, the control that it interacts with is highlighted. So in this case, it is called UI agenda hyperlink. I can right click on it and view its properties. Let me pin that. And look at its search properties. So coded UI test, what it does is it looks at it stores a set of search properties and filter properties for each control that it interacts with. And when it plays back, it actually uses those search properties to locate a particular control, then use the mouse keyboard to go ahead and perform actions on this control. So in this case, we are going to click on this agenda hyperlink, and this is the set of properties that are present there. So in order to make this fail, what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the agenda to topics. Save it. And OK, so let me run this now in IE. Yes. So in fact, that's exactly what I wanted to show here. So it's a combination of search properties and filter properties. All search properties have to exactly match. All among the filter properties, we will use it one by one. So let's say the search properties yielded me 10 hyperlinks, right? And then I will start applying each filter property one by one till my candidate set becomes one, right? Yes. So it is possible for you to configure the set of properties that you want to use. So here, by default, it uses about 5 or 6 different properties. And if you believe that your application only uses ID, and ID is unique across the application, that you need to ensure, right? We won't do the verification for you. If you use, then you can actually create a configuration file and specify that, hey, I need to use only ID, and it will then only use ID when you are recording. So you will notice here that because we changed that, I shouldn't say that, the test itself failed, and you will be able to see that it has got a control not found exception. And the control which it failed is shown here. Let me show you some additional troubleshooting help that we provide. We have a UI test action log file. And what it does is it shows you a all the actions that have been performed. It gives you a listing of those actions. In fact, it will take a screenshot of whenever an action is performed, it will take a screenshot of the last successful action. In this case, it actually will draw a bounding rectangle around the last control that it successfully found. Here, it was able to find that document. You will notice that there is a red bounding rectangle around the document, but it is not able to find that agenda hyperlink. That is where, so in fact, the message will say that it is looking for this particular one with a hyperlink with the inner text of topics. And that's because we intentionally made it fail. So, and what you would do is you would, you would just bring up your developer toolbar, and you can look at what are the properties. So you can see here that the inner text of that hyperlink is agenda. Right? So with a combination of the action log, the coded UI test log that you see, which gives you detailed information, plus the developer toolbar, which will tell you exactly what are the properties of the page that is getting rendered, you should be able to quickly narrow down on why a particular control is not getting found. Yes?
Okay, so thinking of responsive design, there are possibilities for the
resolution of the size of the browser window or anything like that? So the question was, does the size of the browser window matter? Is that correct? So we don't change anything on the application itself, right? We only interact with the application using whatever commands that you have given. In this case, you know, we are clicking on each of those hyperlinks. But we don't, as part of the test run, we don't change anything in the web application itself, right? So the related question was, is there a problem with resolutions, right? So if how we look at it is we always look at the search properties. We don't worry if it is showing up in a smaller screen or a bigger screen. As long as the search properties are identical, we will use those search properties to locate the control and perform the action. Right? Yes?
Mm-hmm. And I want to force it to be small because I want to make sure that the mobile menu is visible.
Fair question. So as long as the UI screen layout doesn't change, it doesn't matter, right? We will do the scrolling, right? If it's in a particular viewport and the control that you're looking for is outside that viewport but accessible on that page, we will scroll to that. We will do the automatic scrolling to get to that page and get that control. But if the layout itself has changed due to your design and it is now appearing on a different page or you need to do additional navigations on it, we will not be able to detect that. So our recommendation basically to do those kind of scenarios is that you create a separate test for each of those scenarios, right? So one test will not handle both those scenarios. And obviously you are in C#, and if most of the steps are same, you can add one if condition there and you'll be able to handle that particular scenario, do additional navigation, and then continue with your test assets. Good question there. So currently we don't have a way to, so again, it depends on what you want to. So let's say you are navigating to a different URL, right? You can then write a separate test flow for that. We don't, as part of the coded UI test framework, try to be smart about it. As of now, no, but I would love to understand exactly what I didn't understand it fully, but I would love to understand more. After the talk, we can have a quick chat about it. Yes, sir.
Does this support the postback? Because you know, when I change some value, it goes back to the server.
Mm-hmm.
And the browser has to wait for certain time
before
yes. The next step.
Yes, it does. So it is completely based on what is happening on the UI, right? And if the page itself is busy, if we actually wait for the ready state of the page, we actively watch it, And once the ready, it is ready only, we perform the next action on it. In fact, I will show that in some of my other demos. Yes? Yes, it's something we are considering, not there right now. Yes? Hold the thought, right? My next demo, right? So let me jump to my next demo. So this one, what I wanted to show was the ability to do JavaScript, right? And so up to now, we are dealing with C#, right? All the code is getting generated as C#, but we have introduced the ability to actually execute JavaScript as part of your test. And that will sort of address what he raised just now. So my demo scenario at least was the date picker, right? This is a jQuery UI control. And what it does is, let me bring up the source on this. So you can see here, this is just a input type equal to text, and we have assigned the date picker ID to it, and it is being the date picker control is being created. The jQuery UI date picker control is being set here. Right? And if we actually create a coded UI test for this, if you look at this control that is getting rendered, so this is the month selector is just a span, and all of these are hyperlinks. And when I click on this, it will set that particular value out there. Now, if you do it as a coded UI test, you will basically get click on 6, which is the date, and click a few times on the month picker. But really, that's not what you want. And if you have to write something more complex, directly using coded UI test, it is not possible. Therefore, it becomes easy for us to just... So let me show you the JavaScript way of doing it, right? Okay, before doing that, so the JavaScript has to be executed on a browser window. So coded UI test builder again gives you a mechanism to go and directly add a control to the object repository that it maintains. So how you do it is, again, is you just drag and drop the control, and if you expand this guy, you will see that this is the control hierarchy. And for executing the JavaScript, I need this window. What I will do is I will add that to the UI map. Okay? And generate corresponding code for that. And I'm now going to just write the code. Oops. So in order to help you to hand code easier, what we have done is we have prefixed all the variables with UI. So you can just hit UI and it will show, the IntelliTrace will show you what are the various controls there. And on that window, there is an execute script, which allows you to take any JavaScript. So I've created this JavaScript here. Are you guys at the end able to see this? Right. So this basically what it does is it just calls the date picker control and calls it set date value and sets it to 1/1/2013. Oopsie. Now I can just quickly run it and show you that it really works. Oh, finish fast. Okay. So what this gives you is the ability to execute any arbitrary JavaScript in as part of the coded UI test. And to answer his question, it also actually allows you to get any CSS attribute also. In fact, one of the teams in Microsoft IT has built a tool which actually looks at all the various capabilities that he talked about. Are they all in one line, right? Are they all having a same color defined? All of this you are very easily able to get with JavaScript, and they have actually built a tool and put it on. It's available on, I believe, CodePlex. You should be able to get the source also. I don't recollect the name of the tool at the top of my head. But yeah, do send me an email. I can send out the name of that tool out to you. So this is one scenario. Another interesting scenario for running JavaScript is like you have a slider. Again, slider is a jQuery UI control which can have really complex set of sliders. And there you would actually be dragging those slider controls to set particular values. And you'll be able to use JavaScript to quickly set those values rather than code them. So this is one advanced scenario in coded UI test where you wouldn't directly add the action in C# code, but would actually easier to do the coded UI test using JavaScript. Let me show you another interesting scenario. So generally, when we are creating a web app, the best experience is to use a very minimal set of properties, search properties to locate a control. And we talked about ID being generally a good property to use, right? But there are scenarios now that we see in modern web apps where the ID itself changes dynamically, right? So let me bring up my coded UI test builder and show you the properties of a control whose ID is changing dynamically. So if you notice here, this is a TFS web access site, and my name is in a control type custom with tag name li, and ID is mi6, right? Now, if I switch to another page and locate that control once again, it has changed to mi3, right? So we have been seeing such controls very frequently nowadays, and when you are doing a lot of browser testing, you will hit these scenarios. So there are two strategies to handle a scenario with dynamic IDs. One, treat each of them as independent controls, right? And code for them to be independent controls. The second strategy is to actually change the search properties. So let me just generate this code, and we will go in and see how the search properties can be changed. So I'll go into Solution Explorer and open the UI test and expand it out to, I didn't add the control. Do it once again. So we have the control. I will add that control to the UI map and generate code for this. Okay, switching back to you can see here, this is that custom control that we saw earlier. And if you look at the search properties, you can see that all those properties that we saw there are being listed here, and it has an ID. So you can go ahead and quickly delete this search property itself using coded UI test editor, right? And so I told you earlier there was a combination of search properties and filter properties which I used to identify the control. In this case, inner text is used as a search as a filter property, right? So in case of dynamic controls with dynamic IDs, the best strategy would be to remove the ID from the search properties as I have shown here, and then add another uniquely identifying property back as a search property. In this case, inner text, I know for a fact that at least from the look of the control that my name is the one that is uniquely identifying the control. So I will remove it from the filter properties, go back to search properties, and you'll be able to add inner text out here. So this is one strategy of handling dynamic IDs, and this is a problem that comes very often when you are starting to write automation for across browsers. And this will, as I said, work across different browsers. Yeah, absolutely. The question was, can we search something with the parent? In fact, I didn't actually give the full information when I said a control is always located by its search and filter properties. It is actually located by a combination of search, filter, and its hierarchy within the control. right? So what we do when you say you want to interact with that agenda hyperlink, we actually locate its window, then its document, and then the control within it. And if it's a scenario where it is actually inside a table and a table row, we actually include that in the hierarchy. So in this case, if you notice, it is present three level deep in the hierarchy, right? You have the window, and within that, the document, and then a custom control. In table scenarios, there will be the table also added here, right? And obviously, whatever you see here, the corresponding code also can be generated, right? Whenever we create an instance of a control, we actually give its parent in the UI hierarchy as one of the constructor overloads. So you are able to, in fact, use the hierarchy and dynamically change the hierarchy as required to. Yes, so we don't, the code that gets generated, pure .NET, gets executed as a .NET, right? I mean, we don't do anything special out there. So you have the flexibility to do whatever. If you want to add if conditions there in the code, you will have to go ahead and modify that. But yes, you do have the full flexibility.
So when we talk about one window scenario, mm-hmm. like, you know, my application, I have, I click something, it opens the pop-up, I'm working the pop-up, it's
yes. Absolutely. Yes, we do support the scenarios where there are multiple windows. If it's a windows with same title, we actually create instances, add a property called instance, and then you know we are able to detect which instances we are interacting with. If it is a different title is one of the search properties of a window. So we will be able to correctly identify that control. Got a question? Yes, we are using the Selenium.NET bindings, right? And when the playback is happening on either Chrome or Firefox, WebDriver is actually loaded. And what we do is we have created a mapping between the coded UI test API and the Selenium API. So let's say you had a particular property that you wanted in coded UI test. We know that the corresponding Selenium property is this, and we will make that mapping via WebDriver. So that's what the Selenium plugin does. It converts that into the Selenium. So the code is actually, if you notice, written in coded UI test, right? Right. So the selector, so coded UI test currently does not support like XPaths or all of those capabilities are not present. So then there is no mapping, right? So as long as you can have that construct available in coded UI test, we have done the mapping to the corresponding Selenium API.
Is there any documentation
yes, I understand. So I, in fact, look at it from the other way. If you look at it from coded UI test, everything in coded UI test will work in Chrome and Firefox with one or two exceptions. Those exceptions are documented. All right, let me show you the next scenario. So up to now, we have been dealing in Visual Studio, right? And we are in a developer world, we are creating the automation. Now, let's switch to the testers world, right? And Microsoft Test Manager is the tool of choice for the manual tester. And here, the manual tester has to do this end-to-end tests on the TechEd website. So they are already automated. So he's not expert in coding. And only thing he needs to do is that he wants to ensure that those tests run on all the configurations that he wants to test. So Microsoft Test Manager supposes concept of test configurations, which basically for any test case that you create, you can say that it has to be run on this particular OS and this particular browser. And that's what configurations allow you to do. So here, if you notice, there is one test, and it has been assigned those three configurations. So this is the planning activity. Now, when he switches to the testing activity, and looks at those tests, he will see a multiplication of the original test with the number of configurations. And there'll be one instance of those. We call it a test point, and a test point for each configuration that he needs to test on. Now, in his scenario, he has a set of manual tests to do. He wants to also be able to run the automated tests that have been created by the automation tester. In our case, we have already created this end-to-end test suite. Let me bring that out and show it to you. So we had already run this test on various browsers, right? And what I have done is I've used the very same set of tests steps and added this additional lines of code to look at the configurations that are available in Microsoft Test Manager. So when an automated test is being run from Microsoft Test Manager, we populate a property bag in the test context class, which consists of various properties that are available from Microsoft Test Manager. So in this case, I'm using the TFS test configuration name, which will contain the name of the browser whenever it comes here. So if that value comes in, I will set it to the current browser and I will run it, right? And in Microsoft Test Manager, the additional information that is required to run an automation is this available in this associated automation tab. It gives you the name of the method, which is exactly what we have here, right? And the DLL from which it has to be picked. So whenever Microsoft Test Manager is used to run an automated test, it needs two pieces of information. Where is the build getting generated from? Because that is where it will pick up this DLL from, right? So as newer and newer builds get generated, these tests can also probably even change in behavior because we are now picking up the latest version of the DLL that has the test method information. So let me go ahead and run this and show it to you. So we ran the test on IE and Chrome. So let's try and run this now on Firefox. Now, in addition to the build, another piece of information is needed by MTM to run the test, and that is the test environment. In this case, I have created the test environment on this local machine itself. Okay. So you can see here that it's the same set of steps that we saw earlier. It'll first navigate to agenda, it'll do a verification, then it'll switch to content, do another additional set of verifications, and finally switch over to register. Give it a few seconds to complete. So what happens in the background is that MTM actually connects via a test controller, test agent infrastructure to the test environment. So in this case, the test environment is configured as my machine, my laptop itself, and that's why you see this running. You have the ability to point it at a different machine and run these automated tests there also. So the benefit is that you have a set of tests that are created in Visual Studio, a set of CodeDY tests, which probably a developer or an automation tester has created. Now, when the manual tester is running, he can reuse or pick and choose some of those tests and run it as part of his workflow. And when he's looking at the reports, you get a single integrated report saying, hey, 10 tests, manual tests have been completed, 5 automated tests have been completed. So you get a complete integrated picture of the testing activity that is being done for a particular app or a feature. Okay, and once the test is completed, it'll show us the results. And you can double click on it to get through additional information. And just one more thing in the cross browser that I wanted to highlight is that the ability to run these tests from a build also. So I will show you this build definition that I have created. So how many of you are using Team Build? It's a smaller group than CodeDY test. So TeamBuild basically allows you the ability to compile your application, and then in addition to that also perform additional actions. And one of those additional actions that it can do is run tests also. So here I have, and all of that is specified in the process definition of a build. Let me quickly walk you through. So here are the it builds two of these projects. Then it runs a set of automated tests which are defined by this property. And in addition, it has a set of advanced actions that you can also perform. So when a team build is kicked off, it actually compiles the application, it picks up which are the tests that needs to be run, runs them, and the end result is shown to you. And another key characteristics of the build is that is how it is triggered, right? You can trigger the build as a continuous integration build, which means that every check-in that goes in, it will build that. You can change it to a rolling build, which is at a specified interval. So it will accumulate all check-ins that happened during a 15-minute or a 20-minute window, and then build that. And when I say build it, it is not just compilation. In these cases, it is actually compile plus a test also. So you get to know the real quality of that build immediately. You can also do it as a gated check-in. Some of our teams actually use a gated check-in model, where only if the build runs successfully, that means a compile has been done successfully, the tests have been run successfully, will the check-in actually go through, right? So you have you never ever hit a scenario where there is a bad build. The check-in goes in only if the test itself has passed. But you have to be a little bit careful because some of the coded UI tests take a little bit of time, and therefore your build itself may take longer if you add a lot of tests. So you judiciously use those tests, and we can get a very high quality bar built into the process itself. Yes, I had a question. Okay. Yes. It is not a plugin. It is a part of TFS. So team build is a component in TFS, which allows you to not just compile, also build. Yes, yes. All kinds of tests can be run from as part of the team build. Yes, sir. Yes, so I did skip a bit over it. So the default flow, especially for web apps, it may not work so easily. But we do have a separate process template. So this is the default process build process template. We have a separate build process template called the lab template, which actually does a compile, a deployment, and then a test. So we call it the BDT workflow. Right? So if you use a lab template, you have the ability to do all of those activities. In fact, if you go out and check on the BDT template, we have a end-to-end scenario where we build a full-fledged MVC, ASP.NET MVC app, deploy it onto a production, test it, and then actually create a gated check-in whereby you can do all of those activities. But using the default, no, it's a valid point, yes. All right, I have only 20 minutes, so let me switch to the... Just do a quick recap of what all you saw. I demoed a lot of features in cross-browser. Troubleshooting, we saw how the coded UI test log helps along with the developer tools. Advanced scenarios, we saw scenarios where JavaScript becomes useful during coded UI test execution. I did not cover Ajax, so let me quickly cover that. And we saw dynamic IDs. Now, Ajax is used in scenarios where you actually make a request externally and then wait for it to complete before you perform additional actions, right? And what we provide is a set of APIs. Let me quickly show you those APIs and then we will switch to... So the base class of all our controls is called a UI test control class. And on the UI test control class, there is a set of wait conditions. Let me see if I can bring that bigger. So these are the various waiters that are possible. You can wait for a particular condition to be, so you can actually feed it any predicate that you want and say that wait for the predicate to return true and then only perform the next action in the coded UI test. Right? You can say that it is a control is enabled, it exists, not exists, or you can say a control's property has changed. So if, for example, you are querying a database, and at the end of the database query, you update some value on the UI to indicate that it is actually completed, you can add a waiter on that control, right? And that will help you to handle AJAX kind of scenarios. Now, if you are just using IE, and that would have been the case before 2012.1, we actually manage it automatically, right? You didn't have to even worry about this. So in the IE plugin, we create a timer during execution, wait for the AJAX timers, and we have some logic in the IE plugin to handle it. But now that we are moving into a cross-browser testing world where the same test has to run on different different browsers, we need you to actually add these appropriate waiters to handle AJAX scenarios. So that's one of the key things that we are introducing with when we actually do cross-browser testing for AJAX sites. Okay. And the other scenarios that I talked about include Microsoft Test Manager and continuous integration, right? Hey, question. It doesn't. So we only look at properties of the controls you interact with. We don't look at any, size of the a window is not one of those properties that we look at. It's a good idea. I mean, we currently don't do it. Probably it is possible without us making any change. You can write a framework on top of our current API to do it. But to include it in the framework is something that we have not really considered up to now. But yeah, it's something that we can definitely look at. Yes. So just the same way that I was sending in configurations, right, to the test, it is possible to actually send the, so to a test case in Microsoft Test Manager, we can attach a table. Right? That's how you parameterize a test case in Microsoft Test Manager. That data is also available in CodeUI test. So you can say that, hey, pick the table from my test case in TFS and run n iterations of that test in the CodeUI test. That is possible. I mean, it is documented in MSDN, so you should be able to get it from there. Yes, sir? It hasn't changed. It will change in. I shouldn't say that. It's yeah. Yes, correct. Yeah. Nothing, no. That remains as is, yes. Okay. I'm running short of time. Can you hold the question? Yeah. We'll come back towards the end. I'm sort of closing the first section, which is on cross-browser testing, and we'll switch over to the device testing. I need 20 minutes for that, and I have exactly 21 remaining. Okay. So in fact, I will just quickly skip over these slides. The reason why we are doing device testing is basically that now the apps are, everywhere, right? And here I have tried to capture the app availability of Skype. All of these are Skype. You can see it available on all the phone platforms, all the tablet platforms, on laptops, Surface, right? And this along with HTML5, right? And HTML5 basically means that it is available across browsers, and not just the desktop browsers, on the mobile browsers also. So this basically means that when you are doing agile testing of any app, you are now required to sort of multiply your effort by this matrix, right? And not just that, you are now writing an app for the world. I mean, no longer is it just US, right? You really want to address China, Europe, India, wherever, and all the marketplaces are available everywhere. So you really need to be testing all of these. And another interesting trend which we have seen, which affects the work, at least the apps that we are developing, is this thing called BYOD, right? Bring your own device. Now, the key driver for this is that because retail computers are changing so much faster, the specs for those computers are much better than what you have in your office. I mean, like 5 years back, you could say that the office computer was the computer, right? I mean, you had the best specs that for that machine. Now that has sort of shifted, and more companies are encouraging people to bring in their own device and use that to perform your work-related functions. And what that introduces for the tester is a challenge of, hey, now you need to be able to work in those different environments. You need to be able to work in a domain-controlled environment, or you could be able to work from, you know, using direct public internet. And again, this along with the ubiquitous apps means that your testing metrics just explodes out. Okay. So for testing on devices, what Visual Studio has decided is that we will partner with some top solution providers and build in the integration to Visual Studio and TFS. And that is our recommendation for people to use if they want to test on iOS and Android devices. Right? For Windows Phone, we are actually working on a plan. I'll not be talking about that right now. This talk will focus on testing for iOS and Android connected to Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server. So two different distinct scenarios for testing on devices. First one is testing of devices in the cloud, right? So you have device data centers where devices are plugged in to a particular carrier in a particular geography, and you will install your app on that device and then run the tests on it. And we are partnered with Perfecto Mobile, who is a leader in that solution, in that space, and they have built a full-fledged Visual Studio TFS integration for their solution, right? And the second perspective of looking at it is you have the device in-house, you want to test your app on that device. So on-prem device testing, we are partnered with FrogLogic, Squish, and I will do a demo of both of these capabilities. Let me start with the device cloud scenario. So Perfecto Mobile is one of the leading vendors of device cloud testing scenarios, and they have like strong integration with other testing tools from HP and IBM. And what we have done now is built a very tight integration of the Perfecto Mobile device testing solution with Visual Studio. So at a high level, the architecture looks like this. So the Perfecto Mobile device data center consists of a set of Perfecto cradles, right? And each of those Perfecto cradles contains a device to which a USB has been USB connection has been attached, and in some cases, especially for older models, a real camera also. So you can see what is happening on that device. For the newer generation of devices, the video capture is also through USB. And these any one of these you can book any one of these devices when you are building an account with Perfecto Mobile, and once you get that, you will be able to do interactive manual testing on those devices. You can install your app on the device and then perform manual testing on those devices. You can see the results. You can also write automation for those. The automation is in Perfecto Mobile Test Automation Script Once technology. Here, the benefit is that you write the same test and it will run on both iOS and Android. For specialized scenarios, you might have to write a few if clauses, but otherwise, as a whole, the ScriptWise technology, the same script will work across both the devices. And obviously, we have very, very good integration between Perfecto and TFS and Visual Studio. Another key thing about the Perfecto Mobile solution is that it is geo-distributed. So each of those stars indicate their data centers that are available. And so across the cloud, using a web IDE, you can connect to any device on any of these data centers. Now, this is very important because your app performance might be affected by not just where exactly it is, but also which carrier in that location it is connected to. So the phones that you get access to from the Perfecto Mobile IDE is a true device with a real number, right? It's a real device. And you're actually doing real testing of your apps using that. So, as I said, it is through through a web. There is nothing you need to install. You just go into their website. And in fact, this is the demo script that I'm going to run. Again, continuing with our theme, this is a Channel 9 application on an iPhone. And what I will do here is actually start the application, go and search for this particular session, verify that the session title is proper, and then go in and look at good things to do in New Orleans while I'm here, and close out. So this is the test that we are going to run in the Perfecto Mobile device cloud. And as I said, it is really super easy to build a Perfecto Mobile test in Visual Studio. You create a cloud mobile project, and the cloud mobile project now contains information that is shown in Visual Studio Test Explorer. Similar to earlier, you can run the same test from Microsoft Test Manager also, right? So a fully integrated experience is available. Let me show you a demo. So let me start with So when you create a file, new project, under the test node, a new type of project has been added called the mobile cloud project. This gives you access to the Perfecto Mobile integration. I'll not create it right now. I'll pick one that I have already built. So the only two pieces of information that you need to add there is what is the test, Perfecto Mobile test that you need to run, and what is the device on which it needs to run. And this information you get from the Perfecto Mobile IDE. Let me connect to that. Okay. So I'll switch over to the automation tab because we are going to run automation and open up my script for TechEd. So this is a script that I showed you earlier in the slide, and this is a script that is referenced in the Visual Studio IDE. And let me also show you the devices that I have available. One second, let me just do it once more. Okay, so I can say select device and it will list. So I have to my demo account, I have an iPhone 4, a Galaxy S3, and an iPad 4 running. And it is this iPhone 4 that I will use. And the device ID is given here. And this device ID is what I put into my mobile cloud project. So let me close it out. And so if you notice here, my script is available in Test Explorer. It is a uniform experience. So the integration is seamless. You have a uniform experience for running these tests. Go ahead and run those. And Perfecto Mobile has a dashboard. Oopsie, not this. Which actually shows exactly what is happening on the device at any point in time, right? So if you notice here, it is actually, let me try to make it bigger. So it's gone and done the search. It's actually doing now the verification of the title. Then it switches to the news section and searches for the news about things to do in New Orleans. And finally looks at the sponsors of the event. So we can perform any set of test actions out here, right, and do a set of verifications on the site that is available. So both mobile web apps as well as native apps are supported here. And once the test is complete, it'll close the view and show the results back here in Visual Studio. In fact, it actually gives a very detailed log of all the actions that were performed. So you can see here there were 17 actions that were performed. And it takes a screenshot whenever it performs a particular action. So you get a full log of all the everything that's happened. Yes. On the Perfecto mobile. So we actually create the Perfecto script on using the web ID, and that Perfecto script creation actually can be either recorded or you can hand code that, right? And you take a reference to that in Visual Studio. That is the integration. Here, so I run the test from Visual Studio on my laptop, and it connects to the Perfecto cloud, runs it, and sends the result back to my Visual Studio.
Thank you.
Right? Yes. I don't recollect it right now, but yeah, I can check it and I'll let you know. I believe it is possible. I don't recollect off the top of my head if it's possible. Okay, 10 minutes more. So let me show you the squish demo also, and then we'll take the questions, right? Just a quick intro of the squish solution. So Froglogic Squish, what it does is it actually instruments the app under test and puts a squish module inside the app under test. And that in turn is communicated to from the squish module that sits inside Visual Studio. So this is how the interaction between Visual Studio and the app under test really happens. So this is a squish ID. Again, the same model that we did in Perfecto. You actually author the test in the squish ID and take a reference to that test in your Visual Studio test project. So the key things that are required here are if you look at the top left corner, you have the test suite and the test cases, right? So these are the two pieces of information that are required by Visual Studio. And that's how the test is organized in Froglogic. And if I jump over to my demo, and show, this is my squish test. Again, I perform the exact same events. This time, I'm actually testing on an Android emulator running on this machine, right? And what I've done here is I couldn't find the APK for the Channel 9 one. So what I've done is I built a quick app which just points to the website. So it is just a web view connected to a native app. And I basically tap on each individual section and verify the title on the web view. And that is what this set of tests do. I've commented out some sections so that we save on time. So here I have the Android emulator running. And in Visual Studio, what you do is you can go into any test project and right-click, add a new item. And the squish test is one of those items that show up there. Right? And when you open a squish test, let me pick up my final solution. You have to specify that test suite that we showed earlier and that set of test cases. So there can be any number of test cases in the test suite. And here I have this end-to-end test for TechEd application, which we will run. And since I showed running of the Perfecto mobile from Visual Studio, I will run this from Microsoft Test Manager. Right? So the experience is uniform across all three. So here I have this end-to-end test. I will run it. And we will watch the test agent, which is basically, it uses the same infrastructure. It is starting that squish test. If you'll notice in the small box, the test case is listed there. It runs a bit slow on the Android emulator. The Android emulator itself runs a bit slow on my machine, so a little bit of time to start the app. And then click on two of those links and verify the content. So the key thing to note here is that if you're running the test from Visual Studio, you can see the cross-browser test, the squish test, the perfectumobile test, all your tests in the Visual Studio Test Explorer, a uniform experience. Similarly, if you're running the test from Microsoft Test Manager as part of your testing activities, you can see all of these test cases there also. So, and so also for Team Build, right? When you are running the test from Team Build, you can run any of these tests from Team Build also. So that's the uniform integration that is provided by each of these partners. And you can see the results out here, that the test is passed. And if you open the detailed results, you will see here that, you know, it contains, we had three different verifications that were added as part of the test, and all of those verifications passed. Yes. You just have to point it at a machine that has a build server. A squish plugin. So okay, we talked about this. The same experience for all of our different types of tests. We did the demo. So quick summary. So for the BYOD test scenarios where you want to test devices on-prem, FrogLogic Squish is the recommended solution provider. And for device cloud test scenarios, Perfecto is a recommended solution. Right? And as I talked about earlier, you have a uniform experience irrespective of the type of the test, whether it be browser test or device test. And for all the three scenarios that we talked about, it's a uniform experience. Now, I did a lot of demos on various features, but when you are talking about testing and within the context of Visual Studio and Microsoft Test Manager, I did not cover even, you know, 1/10 of the features that are there. And I just wanted to highlight those which I did not show in demos, right? And you should probably, all of these are well documented in MSDN. You can see a set of videos also of these in Channel 9. We have unit tests for desktop, phone, and Windows Store. We also have the ability to do manual tests, which is like formally planned test cases which you can execute from Microsoft Test Manager. You have the ability to track exploratory tests, right? You explore the application, and then we give you some interesting features like action log, which actually shows you what was done during that exploratory testing session. We also have web performance tests and load tests to ensure that the app itself is performing properly. So, takeaways. VS provides a very powerful cross-browser testing solution. And with the preferred partner providers, Perfectumobile and FrogLogic, we also enable you to test your app across devices, both on-prem and on device clouds. And it's a great tool for your agile testing needs. Okay. And there are a set of related topics. Most of these are already done. So if you have not seen this, I would recommend you to watch the videos for all of this. All of this touch upon many of the topics that I also covered. Let me switch to. So that sort of concludes my talk. Please do fill in the feedback forms.